The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson of KIIC in Albia and Jacob Hall with the Iowa Standard in Sioux Center. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thank you for allowing this this privilege, Senator Grassley. No senator or congressman, as you said in our last interview with you, that no senator, no congressman has suggested voting to destroy or defund Social Security. And of course, that's been in all the ads. But really, how sound is Social Security's fiscal policies? I hear projections it will be broke in 15 years. What do you have to tell us on?
Well, it's two ways to look at it. Near term, it's pretty sound. Just hold the phone while I cough. Near term, it's fairly sound, and there's no way that anybody looking in the future isn't going to get a check. But after 2034, 2035, 2036, sometime like that, the trustees say that under existing law, if something isn't done, then you can only pay out what's coming in from the payroll tax and a little bit of income tax that goes into it. And if I was still alive at age 104, I would only be drawing 78% of what I'm getting now. And so the young people would have a lifetime of only getting a percentage of what people are getting now. And the reason I can get 100% now is because we built up reserves that are just now starting to be drawn down, and it's going to take a few years to draw them down. So I'll quickly answer your question by saying every year the trustees of Social Security and Medicare put out a forecast over the next 75 years. So for the next 60 years beyond that first 15 years, it's not very sound. So Congress has to act to make sure, but it's something that the third rail of politics, you know, if you don't get a Republican-Democrat bipartisan approach, nothing's going to be done, particularly if you got to have 60 votes in the United States Senate. And so that's why if something isn't bipartisan put together, the catastrophe that's going to happen in 15 years is going to happen. But and here's a sad commentary about it. Every Republican Democrat knows exactly what trustees are telling us, but nobody's got guts to move ahead. And I said I was going to quit, but one other thing. In 2005, after Bush was reelected, he was reelected on a platform of doing something about it, and I worked for 9 months as a chairman of the committee to deal with it, and I couldn't get a bipartisan approach put together, so it was dropped after a while. That's just how difficult it is. Let's go to Sioux Center.
Hey, Senator Grassley. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about, with today being Election Day, and I know over the weekend you were in Dubuque at President Trump's rally. You've seen Iowa politics for a long time. Have you ever seen anything like you saw this past weekend in terms of energy and enthusiasm among Republicans in Iowa leading into this election today?
No, I haven't. Let me give you a little smaller example of it, but just an outstanding example. I was in Indianola last night as the last of 30 appearances I've made over the last 7 days for a Republican rally. And prior to the speeches starting, there was a parade through Indianola of all kinds of cars and pickups with American flags and Trump flags, going around town honking their horn and just creating a lot of energy. And that's on a smaller basis than what we saw in Dubuque. But the answer is no. And I don't know whether – I doubt if Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1964 against Goldwater, he used to have big turnouts. And I don't think that would even even compare to it. Okay, Senator, let's go back to Albia.
Senator Grassley, once again, I hear people calling for term limits for senators and congressmen, but it seems to me there is a term limit. You can vote out anyone after one term, two terms, three terms. What do you think about term limits?
Well, that's the answer against constitutional amendment for term limits, because you can vote people out. In the House of Representatives every 2 years, most governors every 4 years, most senators every 6 years. A president does have term limits, but he sometimes they get voted out after 4 years. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but anyway, that is it. On the other hand, I have to tell you that that I think I used to say one time, but I think my staff informed me that there were about three votes that I cast for a constitutional amendment with term limits. So I've been an advocate for term limits, but I'm not going to do what some people do, just voluntarily have term limits, because I'm going to make sure that Iowa has equality with other states. And until we get a national agenda for term limits, I'm not going to term limit Iowa senators or congressmen. Let's go back to Sioux Center.
Senator Grassley, if you could talk a little bit about, I know you tweeted about the effects of the USMCA compared to NAFTA yesterday. I wanted you to kind of highlight that maybe with a little bit more detail in terms of what the USMCA has done for Iowa.
Yeah. Well, according to the Chamber of Commerce, not just what USMCA has done to increase jobs in Iowa, but all jobs, about 137,000 Iowa jobs, are connected with the USMCA. I think that that there's four or five things that I would say are great improvements. Number one, under NAFTA, we couldn't get our wheat, cheese, poultry, and dairy products into Canada, and we're able to do that now. And then there's always been some restriction on the content of an automobile that has to come from the United States, and that content was raised from, I think, 60-some percent up to 70 or 75%. So that creates more jobs in Iowa. And then there was never any relationship between what we pay in America to what's paid in Mexico. And the average wage for auto workers in Mexico is $8. And in the United States, I don't know what the average wage is, but USMCA makes sure that about 50% of the content of a car manufactured in the United States comes with wages at least $16 an hour. So it's going to make sure that we have more of the cars manufactured in the United States, creating jobs here, and they're going to, and our competition for labor in Mexico is going to be mandated, so we don't lose so many jobs to cheap labor in Mexico. Okay, back to Albia.
Senator Grassley, President Trump and the Trump administration have issued a final rule requiring more transparency in health care pricing. Can you say what you think, or kind of explain what they're after, what the goal is here, please?
Well, you know, like when you go to buy a car, there's a sticker on the window that says what the cost of the car is, so you're comparing apples and apples and not listening to somebody give you a sales job that this car really, I can't go along with your price because I won't make any money. You know at least where everybody's starting. So the same thing when you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, you can get this information on the internet, compare prices, compare policy, and of course, hospitals and insurance companies don't want that information to get out. And things are probably costlier than they should be. Whereas if you know what the price is going to be ahead of time, then you can gives the consumer more control over their health care, and it ought to be that way. And it ought to be that way with pharmaceuticals as well. In fact, Durbin and I have a bill in on that very subject for advertisement on TV. The price ought to be put on TV. And so just transparency brings accountability. Transparency brings more power to the consumer. And actually, he's doing it by executive order. He can probably do that, but then some other president could come along and change it. So I'm an advocate for legislating all this stuff so it's permanent law. Back to Sioux Center.
Senator, if you could talk a little bit about a couple executive orders President Trump has put into place in terms of critical race theory in the federal government departments, as well as the 1776 commission that he just organized, and the roles that those will have here in the education system as we move forward.
Yeah, I would see them as two separate issues. One, 1776. There's not enough teaching about the history of the United States and about how the governmental systems are supposed to be working, and enough knowledge about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and people to have ignorance of our history and ignorance of how our government works probably are not going to have an appreciation of how you make changes in America. And there's probably a feeling that when you don't understand that, you may take dramatic action that you've seen through the rioting and the looting and the stealing and everything, take the law into your own hands. And then, of course, other people take law into their own hands, and then you got a potential civil war. In the case of the other one is that we were evidently using taxpayers' money that actually was promoting an attitude in government that would lead to tribalism, you know, segmenting Americans into white, black, Hispanic, Asian American, into LBTG and into let's say high income versus low income, and all that sort of thing. And I think the president is trying to accomplish something along the lines that we're one great American people, and we ought to be appreciating each other, whether we're white, black, Hispanic, Asian American, sexual preference, all those sort of things. We have to have respect for each other, but you shouldn't put one segment of America against another segment of America. And he felt that taxpayers' money was being used to promote that, and he wants to stop it until we get a more fair approach, because I think he believes, and if he doesn't believe it, I sure believe it, we have to have sensitivity towards everybody else in America, and we have to love each other the way Christ would have us love each other. And so you got to promote that, but you shouldn't do it by dividing Americans into segments.
I wanted to ask about Twitter and Facebook. I know that you referenced Senator Cruz's questioning of the Twitter CEO here at the Sioux Center stop, and I know that you're very active on social media. So talk a little bit about what you see in the future to address the censorship on social media.
Well, I wish that they would appear to be more fair so we didn't have to do anything. But it doesn't look like they are going to be fair. And so they have protection from lawsuits under a section. So if you ever see the numbers 230, that's section 230, they have protection from lawsuits. It seems to me that it ought to either be repealed or modified to some extent, so that they have to be more fair. And if they aren't fair, then they can be sued. I thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Tom and Jacob, for participating in today's Public Affairs Program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.